We all need a little extra health boost sometimes, and Fleur Marché makes it easy for us to supercharge our wellness. Their botanical wellness patches have been such a fun addition to our routine. We just stick them on wherever we want. They have them for sleep, relaxation, focus, and other things. And the patch delivers ingredients to your body in a subtle but effective way, and the results last up to 12 hours. Fleur Marché also has botanical gummies and their new organic nutritional powder Green Machine. They only use the best ingredients and are tested for potency, contaminants, and heavy metals before and after production.
And one of our favorite things, we also love that the company is founded and inspired by women with the mission of helping us feel 100% every single day so that we can have full energy and crush it every day. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. Orders over $50 also get free shipping. Go to Fleur Marché, FLEURMARCHE.com. Use code FORTHEGIRLS for 20% off your first order. All right, everybody, welcome back to For the Girls. We are here for a very, very special episode. We are so lucky to be joined today by Mario Isola, Pirelli's motorsport director, to discuss, of course, Pirelli's exclusive tire supplier partnership with F1, its focus and commitment on sustainability. But also, Mario, if you'll allow us, we want to hear much more about your second life as an emergency first responder and how you got into motorsport in the first place. So let's start from the beginning. We would love to hear a little bit about your backstory as a Carter. I know you were a Pirelli test driver. Your 3 decades almost of being at Pirelli. Tell us how you eventually came to be in this role.
Yeah, when I was 11, 12, I started to be a motorsport fan. At the beginning, I was more committed on other sports. In Italy, football is very popular, but I stopped to follow football and I started to be passionate about motorsport. At that time, Gilles Villeneuve was my hero, and I was stressing my dad to buy me a go-kart to be a race driver, and so I started racing with a go-kart, and I did it for 10 years at the point when my dad told me, if you find a sponsor, it's good, otherwise I don't have any more money to spend on your career, because obviously you believe you are a world champion in Formula One, but then you realize that it's not so easy. So I stopped racing with go-kart. I started studying mechanical engineering because I want to be connected with my passion in a different way, let's say. And then I was lucky enough that in the period I was still at the university, but also looking for a job, Pirelli was looking for a test driver. So I had an interview, I had a test in Bizzola. And they didn't tell anything to me. So I was like waiting for 1 week to understand which was my future. And then they called me saying, okay, we want to employ you. And that's what happened. And then when I was in Pirelli, I moved from test department to design department for road tires and then winter tires. And then there was they were looking in the company for an engineer, for a designer of tires for the superbike. And I applied for that. But then my boss told me, I move you to motorsport car, no motorbike. We are separated. We have one team that is in charge of car racing and one team that is in charge of motor racing. So I moved from the design department, winter tires, to motorsport. And that's my career in few words.
That's so great to hear that you were there for so long and that you were able to move through the organization. And of course, eventually you ended in the motorsport division. Tell us a little bit about the long history of Pirelli with Formula One. It's been over 100 years. How did Pirelli get involved with F1 in the first place?
Yeah, I would say it's a long story in motorsport in general, because Pirelli has been always committed in motorsport, and we have a long tradition in rally, for example, in the World Rally Championship, as well as in Formula One. Obviously, we started in 1950. I was not in Pirelli at that time. I'm old, but not so old. And then back again in 19, late 80s, beginning of 1990. And then the last period started in 2011. At that time, Bridgestone was the sole supplier until 2010, and there was the opportunity to be the sole supplier in Formula One in 2011. So we decided to apply. It was a challenge at the beginning, because it was decided to select Pirelli as a sole supplier in June 2010. So you can imagine the short time we had to create everything. We didn't have a product, we didn't have a factory, we didn't have a logistic, wow. We didn't have the people to join Formula One. And believe me, that Formula One is a very demanding championship. We have more than 55 and 60 people at each event, not counting all the people, engineers and other support departments in Milan and in UK. So it was really a race against the time. And I remember that we tested for the first time our product in August 2010 in Mugello.
Wow.
The very first time we went on track. And then the first what we call collective test was after the Abu Dhabi race, end of 2010. And we started beginning of, it was February 2011, with the first official pre-season test in Valencia. So it was incredible. We made it, because all the team was very committed. We forgot holidays, Sundays, weekends, anything, because we had to achieve the target in within the deadlines. You know, in motorsport, you cannot miss any deadline. So cannot come on Monday at the track and say we have the tire, because the race was the day before. So we had to fulfill all the deadlines, and it was an incredible challenge. Then we realized that the challenge is every day in Formula One. Basically, it never stops. Every day there is a new challenge. You start to know better all the stakeholders, the FIA, Formula One, that has many changes during this long period, the teams, drivers, and we have a lot of requests every day from any of these stakeholders, and we are a bit in the middle of all these requests, and we have to manage all this in the best possible way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've come so far. I mean, it feels like Pirelli is synonymous with F1 at this point, in the best way. But talk us a little bit through the tire life cycle in Formula One. So how, where do they get made? How do they get to the track logistically? How many do you supply per weekend? And we'll eventually get into this, but what kind of happens to used tires at end of life?
Yeah, we produce all our Formula One tires in Romania. We have a dedicated factory in Slatina, and we have also a backup factory in Turkey, because if anything happens in Romania, we need to be sure to have the tires ready for the for all the events. We cannot stop Formula One because we have an issue with the factory. Then we sea freight all the tires for European events. The tires are going from Romania to Didcot, to UK, where we have this technical center. Because, you know, the tires are randomly allocated by the FIA. And so we have to prepare the tires in our trailers in order to be ready to fit them quickly at the race, at the venue. We don't have a lot of time. We transport 1,800 tires per race, wow. And we have to fit them in a bit more than one day. We start fitting Wednesday morning, and we have to finish not later than Thursday around lunchtime. So that means that we prepare as much as we can. For European events, that is possible, sending the tires from the factory to the technical center. We receive the allocation from the FIA. This is a guarantee that we cannot make any special tire for anyone, because we don't know the allocation in advance. So through the barcode, we allocate the tires, and then we transport the tires at the event, and we fit them in 1.5 days. For the overseas events, we sea freight the tire. Obviously, we sea freight as much as we can, because the impact on the environment is much less compared to air freight. We fit the tires, as I said, before Thursday afternoon. Then we deliver the tires to each team. We have one engineer allocated on each team, and this engineer is there to support the team with data, collecting data, suggestion, and so on. But we have a very strict method, protocol with all the engineers, because it's not just the product that has to be the same for everybody, but also the technical assistance provided. If an engineer is giving more or less information compared to another one, he can give an advantage to a team. So he has to follow, he or she, because we have also female engineers.
That's great to hear.
To follow a very, very strict protocol. At the end of the race, we have a number of tires that we take back to Europe for additional analysis, and all the tires are recycled. So we collect all the tires used in Formula 1, Formula 2, Formula 3, and we are trying more and more to collect the tires used at the events to recycle them. In the first part of our experience, we were creating energy from the tire, recycling tires, creating energy. Now we are in the process to generate new materials from the tires, and we have also new projects for the future, because sustainability is a pillar for the company, in order to recycle the used tire in the best possible way. Now, obviously, more modern technologies are available, and we are testing these new technologies in order to recycle as much as we can in terms of material into the tire. You know, it's a mix of rubber, textile material, metallic material. So we do that, and we recycle all the tires used.
And since we're talking about sustainability, we know that sustainability is a core focus of Pirelli and its operations. So from your sourcing of raw materials to the fact that from 2024, all F1 tires used will be Forest Stewardship Council certified, which is incredible. Your use of sea freight, as you mentioned, tire end-of-life practices. Tell us about some of the highlights there and why it's important to you and the organization.
It's really important because a certification that is given by a third party, it's not Pirelli that is guaranteeing what we are doing, because to be honest, we started many years ago to consider any reduction in the impact in the carbon footprint impact. So this certification is something that is coming from a very serious organization that is assessing that what we are doing in terms of all the steps in the process, from raw materials to all the life cycle of the tire, we are doing that in a sustainable way. Because, as I said, our factories are using electricity from sustainable sources since quite a lot of time. We got the 3 stars certification from the FIA 2 or 3 years ago. So it's not something that is new in the company. The way in which we transport the tires, sea freighting, as I said, or with the trucks, with the latest Euro 6, don't remember the letter T, certification that is low impact fleet is something that we have since a long time. Not only this, my opinion is that sustainability is something that you have to consider in all the small details. It's not just one project that could save the world. And so in any small detail, for example, we have part of our team kit that is made with recycled materials. Our luggages are made with recycled materials. From 2021, we avoided the usage of single-use plastic in our operation, catering operation or logistic operation. So there are a lot of stories around our involvement in sustainability. Sometimes they are just small details, but small details can make a difference altogether. Also, we are working together with the FIA and Formula One to reduce the number of tires that we use at each event without affecting the show, without affecting the sporting side of the championship. And the alternative tire allocation that was tested in a couple of races in 2023, it's another example for that. We are working to, and we already have the wet tires that are working without blankets. That means saving energy. So as you can see, there is a lot going on around sustainability, from raw material to end of life of the tire. And to have now this certification is really a stamp on what we are doing.
Yeah, so absolutely. That is so great to hear. And we know with the 2026 regulations kind of coming around the corner, I know it's a few years off, but I'm sure there's a lot of work already going into that. You know, with 2026 regulations, different car concepts comes different aero packages, loads, that obviously affects the tires a lot. How much are your tires and your operations sort of changing for that? And is your team already working on those concepts?
In this long period in Formula One, we had many changes. We had the introduction of the hybrid power unit in 2014. We had the wider sizes in 2017. We had the 18 inches tire in 2022. So we are quite used to big changes in Formula One. Every year we develop our product, but in some cases like 2026, there are big changes. What we do is we cooperate quite well with the teams, with the FIA, with F1, in order to simulate as much as we can. So, for example, for the 18 inches tire, we did the same. Now there is the possibility through a virtual model of the tire to simulate the expected performance of the tire. It could be 16 inches, it could be 18 inches or whatever. What is important is to work together with the teams and they have a good virtual model of the car. That's also good for sustainability. I didn't mention it before, but thanks to this approach, to the virtual design of the tire, we reduced not only the time for the development, because in Formula One, time is always a big challenge, but also the number of physical prototypes that we make during our development. For the 18 inches tire, just to give you a number, we develop 70 different specifications, but we tested on track only 30.
Wow.
Because it was possible to anticipate the behavior, the performance of the other specification through the virtual models. We have a thermomechanical model. We have we use a finite element analysis. So we have a lot of tools that can give us the possibility to predict the behavior. And we will do the same. Actually, we already started for 2026, because clearly at the moment there is only a project, different downforce, different performance, different size of the tire. We have to put all these elements together to understand how the new package will work and give our feedback to in the relevant committees. There is a technical advisory committee in the FIA that is working around that. We have our engineers that are in the committee to provide a feedback on the expectation also for the tires.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it sounds like you guys are firing on all cylinders, and it's definitely great that, you know, Pirelli is so technologically advanced and moving so fast with F1. And of course, you just re-signed with F1 through 2027, which I think will make 20 years of consistent tire supplier for F1. What does that mean for you to be selected sort of by the pinnacle of motorsport to continue your relationship with Formula One?
As you said, you have to be at the top of technology. And that's also very useful for us and for the company, because the technology we develop in Formula One is in a certain way transferable to the road tire. So Formula One is a very good gym for us to develop technology. And the fact that we have been able to renew the agreement until 2027 is a great recognition from all the stakeholders that we did a good job and we deserve to continue. It was not easy. We have always strong competitors, but I'm very happy that we had this opportunity. You said this at the beginning of our chat, that now the name of Pirelli is linked with Formula One. It was not easy at the beginning, and it needs quite a lot of time to put in the mind of the people that Pirelli is linked with Formula One. Now we have this association, and I believe it's very important for the company to be associated to the pinnacle of motorsport, to the most important championship. And there is a lot of behind the scenes that is probably not known, because being the sole supplier, we do a good job if nothing happens.
Yeah,
it's a bit strange to say, but if we don't have an issue, if we have a nice race, if we have different strategies, if we have teams struggling also to understand which is the best strategy, that means we are doing a good job, because we have a good show, a good sport, and we give the drivers the possibility to emerge. And sometimes this is not a recognition that is given to the tires, because the tires are just an element in the package. But this is exactly what happened. We are happy when we have a good race, like what we had last weekend with drivers fighting until the last lap.
Yeah, that moment was incredible. It's like, we haven't seen that in Formula One for quite some time, but it was great. Yeah. And I love what you said about Formula One being kind of a good R&D lab or a gym for that, because I'm sure those learnings trickle into your other businesses and road cars and tires for those sorts of vehicles. So that's great to hear. As promised, we would love to hear a little bit more about your volunteer work as a first responder. We read your profile in The Athletic by our dear friend Luke Smith, but tell us more about how you got involved and why that piece of your life is important.
Yeah, it's very easy. When I was 18, I had some friends doing this. In Italy, it's possible. You have to follow a training, and then you are authorized to work as a first responder for the emergency system. At the beginning, I was not very happy to do that, or very motivated, because clearly in big cities, I live in Milan and I'm doing that in Milan, you can see anything. Okay, when you receive the call, it can be anything. Sometimes it's nothing serious. Sometimes it's something that is very serious, or you have in your hands the life of other people. So I was not really with this idea to continue, but I did the training because I believe that learning is always helpful or useful. After that, I started to think, okay, but if I do the training and I don't put this in practice, is useless. And I started to do this activity, which I still do after 35 years, and I still enjoy to do that. I obviously, during the year, it's a bit difficult for me, because during the season, the Formula One season, obviously it's a bit difficult for me. Usually my night shift is from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning, and and then I go home, take a shower, and go to the office when I'm in Milan. So I give more availability in the winter season when I'm at home, November, December, January. It's a bit easier for me. When I started, I was at the university, so I had a lot of spare time I could use for that. Now it's a bit more complicated. I was trying to use my experience in driving, because I currently also, I drive ambulances, and I try to use my experience to train other drivers. So I'm in a working group that is looking after the ambulances in my region, Lombardy, and we train drivers to do the job in a more professional way and in the best way. And I like this. I would like to have more free time to dedicate to this activity, but unfortunately my job is quite demanding, so I cannot do that. I do that, but in a very limited limited time.
Well, the fact that you do it at all, we were just talking before this with Luca about the schedule, and it's crazy how much you all travel, so kudos to you. That's very very inspirational.
Yeah, we travel around 200 days per year. So it's, and consider that obviously races are during the weekend. It's not during the normal working week. So when I'm back, I always try to give a bit of availability to the other guy, because my association is made by volunteers. So it works because they are all volunteers. And obviously, when I'm not here, when I'm not available, there is somebody else that that is replacing me. So I try to do the same when I have a bit more time.
Well, that's very inspirational. So we always do a fun thing at the end of our interviews called hot take. So we're just going to ask you a quick question and you'll just tell us the first answer off the top of your head. It's not hard. It's fine. Don't worry.
Okay. So let's try.
They're all good. So what's your favorite motorsport moment of your career?
The victory of Spa 24 hours in 2005 with Maserati. We were first and second, and it was an incredible achievement. After 24 hours, I tell you that was incredible.
Yeah, you're probably delirious at that stage. That's incredible. I'm sure you are close with a lot of people in the F1 world, but who are you closest with?
I would say Gunther Steiner at the moment. Okay. We are very good friends.
Love that.
Very cool. We approve. Favorite track?
Favorite track? I like Montreal. I like... Austin. I had the possibility to run in Austin, and it's incredible track.
That's great. And favorite moment volunteering as a first responder?
After 35 years, to find a favorite moment is a bit
hard.
Difficult. The first time that I was able to I had a call for a baby that was born, and I did it.
Oh, that's incredible.
So I was a bit nervous because you never know what happened. But then when the baby was born, I was super happy. And I remember the nurse that was, we call him Mario. I said, no. The mom will decide the name.
That's incredible.
And final one, favorite hometown recommendation. So any restaurant or thing that we would do if we were to come to where you live?
Here in Milan?
Yes.
Here in Milan, I can suggest, I'm an expert in restaurants, not other clubs. I can suggest Trattoria Arlati, typical Milanese food, super good. If you like Japanese, Neta, sushi.
There we go.
Great.
All right, adding those to the list.
My preferred places. Obviously, I don't spend a lot of time in Milan, so when I'm in Milan, I tend to go in the same places where I feel at home.
you have your spots. We love that. Well, Mario, thank you so much. This was incredible. We learned so much about Pirelli, your career, your life, and we really appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.